말해 나들이 쇼회 최진 딜이야 안지게 미션다 미션다기 만들려 견주했지 안지게 즉 특수부지 부지위나다 다들네 랑기 소설이야 즉 랑기 샹달이야 배 잠녀지 제와 제외네 안지수부투 안지렌제 삽리야 네 네베기위나 안데서는 갈당 걸랍나 아주들이야 안지게 코로마사와지 혼자마다 세워지 아니 아직 코너스는 지금 말했으면 세워콤 도스진에 한제 오래스 지산디네 요나래야 먼저기 야네 양도 삼다에 되는 기침부 예네 장도를 지에 기침부를 했지 제 오도스야지 디쇼에 디 고르슈 사와지
And good afternoon. This morning we spoke about how we need to repeatedly train in cultivating an appropriate response or appropriate way of replying when people talk to us or talk about us in an abusive manner, in a harsh manner, and disparage us and belittle us and the like. And we spoke this morning about how we need to repeatedly train, repeatedly meditate on how to respond in such a situation, seeing that anger is always inappropriate, and rather one should practice patience and have and generate the minds of love and compassion. So now we come to the next verse, the one starting with if an equal or inferior person. So in this verse, again, we're talking about transforming problems that come from the speech of others. So when others speak to us in a disparaging manner. So here we'll look at how we usually respond and how someone like a bodhisattva responds. So this is the sixth of the 10 mind training verses.
All right. Then that did him a shunyele, the G movie to a star soda, chickley, bombotan, the sultan, the shenane, some can stammer a sash star soda, the seshero, sewer, chickshinum juice.
But before we start and we get to that, I actually just want to say a little bit more about, in reply to the question that you asked earlier, about how to deal with, say, for example, a boss, who's someone with authority and power, and when they're giving a hard time to one of their employees. So I want to say a little more on that. So in the situation where, say, an employer, the person who has power and authority, is instructing their staff member, do this, do all these things, etc., it's just because they have authority and power and control over you, so to speak, then it's not that one has to accept what they say. However, what is being said here in the mind training practice is that the way we respond to them should be from a basis or with minds that a mind of patience and not with a mind of anger. So if we don't have to accept what they say, and if we respond, we should respond with a mind that pervaded by patience, a mind without anger. And we should do so, as we spoke about this morning, being aware that this person is talking to us in an inappropriate manner or telling us to do things that we are not comfortable with or don't accept, that they are doing so under the influence of afflictions. So we should be aware of this and respond with a mind pervaded by patience and a mind without anger. So that's what we spoke about this morning.
Lama dan susuge dan nangbi kewe shinye dan susuge kewe shinye dan chuchok dan shikiro kewe shinye dan lama dan lama ke ma dan nga zu ka shin tu gu gu re lama ka na shin kelin che gore nyam len che gore se jik nga zu shikiro wa chisna lama ka shin tu gu re se de dan noriya ge nyinga chik yore tere noriya nyinga chik yore tingi ma se shi yinz.
So now to move the context in that to one of the spiritual environments. So generally, if our teacher gives us advice, then this is advice that we would try our best to implement and try and fulfill their wishes. So that's generally what we do. However, there is the possibility of a fault coming from this approach.
Lame kare ma kana na kare chesho kare chesho slamna di che hure sibigi ki shirevesna di injimi di chekhwa ki shmare es
lame kane kun kare ina sunu
kare na china ta je hure vesna injimi di chekhwa yo mare es.
So here what the teacher says and instructions that the teacher gives, it's not necessary that one has to do everything that is said.
Then manzo michila ane loma chila khangba chiyo khangba chi mato yo mare khangba chi kyo che koron desa khangba chiyo ba che ene lama digi ade khangba de ngale che sho nga gudu ngale che sho labna ene loma digi khangba de ya lama che ba na dene koron desa khangba yo mare desa ganga thi gore dene ganga thi gore wa michi to ta ganga shu thi gore wa dene za lama digi ngale ya khangba de kyo ngale che gudu ngale che sho labna
For example, if your spiritual teacher sees the home that you live in and you have quite a wonderful home, but you only have one house, and the teacher says to you, "Oh, this is fantastic, it would be really wonderful if I lived here, give me your house." Of course, you are under no obligation to give your home to your teacher. because if the our teacher then asking us to give our home to them, we certainly are. It is appropriate for us to say, "I'm sorry, I'm not giving my house to you." But here we can see that one doesn't have to do as you are told, even by your spiritual teacher. And even when we do see in the text that one should strive to fulfill the wishes of the teacher. And now you have a teacher, and the teacher is expressing their wish, and they're expressing that they have your home. So here it is certainly fine to say to them, I would like to fulfill your wishes, but I'm unable to. I cannot afford to buy another house. If I give you my home, I have nowhere to live. It will be difficult. So it is completely acceptable to say to your teacher, I cannot fulfill your wish. What is not acceptable is when your teacher asks for your house, that inside you generate, you have minds arising like, oh, my teacher is so greedy. What does he need a house like this for? And how can he ask me to give a house, give my home to him? What kind of question is this? This is completely inappropriate. So this kind of thinking, especially if one doesn't counter it, that is a mistake. That is what we should try and avoid, and we should train in our meditation not to mentally respond in that way. So what we should rather do is generate patience, love and compassion, and then with a calm mind we should investigate the situation. And when we investigate the situation, we'll see my teacher is making a request of me. I want to fulfill the wishes of my teacher because I believe in this teacher, I trust in this teacher. However, there are a number of reasons why it wouldn't be the right thing for me to do. And therefore, I'm not going to do as requested. And then with this kind of thinking, this analytical thinking done with a calm mind, then one responds in a gentle way, saying, I'm unable to fulfill your wishes, and these are my reasons why. And so with this illustration now in the spiritual context, it would be very similar in a work context. If your employer is asking you to do something which you're not comfortable doing, or giving you too much work, or work that you don't particularly want to do, or is communicating with you in a way that you feel that's inappropriate, certainly one should not lose one's own strength or one's own inner strength or one's own power. One should not give that up. What one is trying to give up, though, is the harmful minds that respond, the minds that arise such as anger or of pride, etc. This is what we're trying to abandon. And then if we are successful in overcoming these minds, then with a calmer mind, we can use our wisdom to investigate the situation and reply in an appropriate manner. For these reasons, I'm unable to fulfill your wishes. And that certainly is the right thing to do. So just re-illustrate it and come back to the illustration of the teacher and the student. So make an illustration that's easy to understand. If the teacher says to the student, you need to kill that sentient being, then the student knows that not only is that illegal, but it's unethical. So the student knows that to fulfill the teacher's wish here is clearly the wrong thing to do. Now, so that the student knows not to engage in this behavior. Furthermore, what the student needs to guard against is allowing minds such as, How can my teacher ask this of me? My teacher cannot, doesn't even know the Dharma, or my teacher is so greedy and self-concerned that I'm even being asked to do something unethical. So this kind of uncontrolled discursive thinking, where we're thinking about something again and again and again in this narrow and tight way so that it's dominating our mind, this is the mistake, and this is what needs to be abandoned. So, because this then leads us to thinking our teacher is no good, and then going to other people and saying, you know what he said, he asked me to do this and this and this, I just can't believe how bad he is, etc. This is mistaken. So here it's about practicing patience and dealing with our own mind and responding appropriately. And in this regard, Buddha actually gave two very appropriate pieces of advice. One, if we are asked to do something that is not in accordance with the Dharma, no matter who asks that of us, we should refuse. So if something is contrary to the Dharma, even if it's coming from our spiritual friend, we should refuse to fulfill that request. And the Buddha furthermore said that even I the Buddha, you need to not just blindly accept what I say. You need to, with your own wisdom, investigate the teachings that I give to you. And if, through your own analysis, you don't accept something that I've said, that is completely fine. Don't criticize myself, in this case, the Buddha, or don't criticize the teaching. Just put it to one side. I don't accept this, and put it to one side. And that's completely fine to do. And on the other hand, if you investigate what I say and it makes sense to you, then adopt it and implement it in your life. So that is very relevant advice from the Buddha himself. So the Buddha, he actually gave maybe democracy, one could say, or gave rights to his students. He was very clear that you do not accept what I say just based on my authority. You need to investigate what I've said and make your own decision. However, your mental response is primarily your responsibility. So here, if we can apply this to our own situation, because the suffering from the situation comes from not necessarily what is said to us, but how we respond to it. So here the training is in how we respond to what is being said to us. And to go back to the advice from the Buddha, so the Buddha said, When advice is contrary to the Dharma or instructions are contrary to the Dharma, then these should not be implemented, these should not be followed. However, that doesn't mean you should then criticize the person who spoke in that way. That should be avoided. No benefit comes from that. And similarly, if one does against one's own will follow the advice or do as one is told, then one will do this with a mind that is particularly unhappy, that is not wanting to do this, and you will almost certainly complain about it afterwards, and certainly regret having done it. So therefore, it is better to not accept something that you are not comfortable with, but with control over your own mind, appropriately refuse to do it in an appropriate manner. So fulfilling the advice of the teacher or following the instruction of the teacher is something that we are always encouraged to do, and to do it as well as we can and at all times. This is taken though with the implicit understanding that the advice from the teacher is in accordance with the Dharma. If it's not in accordance with the Dharma, then we should politely refuse. Assuming, as one does, that it is in accordance with the Dharma, then one should fulfill that advice as best as one can. And similarly, in terms of following the advice of the teacher when it's in accordance with the Dharma, of course, included in this is the vows that we all hold. So we need to ensure that we act in accordance with the vows that we have, and the advice from the teacher should always be in accordance with our vows. We should never be encouraged to steal or to kill, etc. Because not only are these illegal activities, but they are unethical and therefore contrary to the vows that we hold. So therefore, in terms of acting in accordance with the Dharma, this also includes acting in accordance with our vows, which are a subsection of the Dharma. So I just thought it's really important to raise these points in connection to your earlier question, as well as more in general in terms of following the advice of the spiritual teacher.
So again, I read the
17th practice of bodhisattvas. If an unequal or inferior person disparages you out of pride, place him as you would your spiritual teacher with respect on the crown of your head. This is the practice of bodhisattvas. So this verse, or this practice of bodhisattvas, is the sixth of the 10 relating to mind training, and the last of those relating to mind training in relation to the speech of others.
Mm.
So these, we look first at the first two lines. If an equal or inferior person disparages you out of pride. So pride, this can arise in dependence on a number of bases, and the commentary gives several. So some people will generate pride in terms of their nationality, thinking that they are the greatest people of their group are so much superior to people of another group. And others may do it in terms of their physique or their stature, thinking, oh, I'm really so handsome, so beautiful, etc., and look down on others. And others may generate pride in terms of their physical strength and use this to not just look down on others, but to threaten others and to show that they have strength over others. And then the fourth way would be in terms of those who are wealthy, and those who are wealthy feeling that they are superior to others, and therefore puffed up, and with this mind of pride looking down on others. So there's this wide number of bases for the arisal of pride.
And this is the quality of the idea that you can have a case in Anzulia, Tonjo Diana, the Niki, the Ungurwa.
So then, with this generation of pride, one looks down on others that you feel you are superior on.
Chesa, that the Niji, or do, and the Niji, and the Diana, that Delia, and Jesse Janjusen, but Chigla, Jan Desugi, the Niji, Jeva, the Niji, Tavana, and the Jesse Janjusen, but the Giga Samla Kartangore, Labna, eh? Lama Shindu Gubi, Dani Yichiro Limba Jesel Ali, incident. That Tigany with the Carson Delia and that was considering I get, Chesian, the Niji, the Delia, oh, down on the Ninja, the Honsu and other Dichard, Honsu and Ajaki or Naja, Honsu and Ajaki and Ajay Ponging Alia Dichigores, as a Ninja, down on it and Ajay and Ajayiki, then Ajay and Dibare, the Dijo Chimalia, and the Honsu Liang and Bachacha.
Here, if a bodhisattva is being deprecated by someone in this manner, so someone who's wealthy and looking down on them, or someone who's physically superior either in strength or in attractiveness, looking down on them, or someone who feels that their race or their nationality is superior to them, then how would a bodhisattva respond in such a situation? So similarly to what we heard before, the bodhisattva will not be thinking about themselves in the situation, but being aware of the other person and their mind. And they would be aware that their mind right now is dominated by afflictions. And here it's particularly the mind of pride, as you see in the third and fourth line, in the fourth line, where does it say pride, or the second line, that this person's mind is dominated by pride. And so seeing that their mind is dominated by the afflictions, then it's clear that this person is suffering right now. Their mind is not calm and peaceful, but rather they have this inflated opinion about themselves. So knowing that they are dominated by a delusion, the bodhisattva will generate love and compassion for them. And furthermore, knowing that this person is dominated by the afflictions, this person is likely to act on this and will thereby incur negative karma. And negative karma is, of course, the cause for future suffering. So not only is this person now who's deprecating the bodhisattva, not only is this person suffering right now because their mind is dominated by their afflictions, but because they are dominated by their afflictions, they are creating negative karma, the causes for future suffering. And therefore, the bodhisattva generates love and compassion for them. And then secondly, that bodhisattva knows that anger is not appropriate, or any form of anger is not appropriate. Rather, they need to practice patience. So they, with the minds of love and compassion for this suffering sentient being, they also ensure they guard their mind against the arisal of anger through the practice of patience.
Lama Shindu Gube Tanya Jichiwo Lemba Jase La Lensu Denegi Nyingje Da Nyingje Je Anu Gedeya Anu Svabakum Tui Svabakum Ta Denegi Ta Denegi Semjian Deje Ngale Yadu Pene Pe Yahure Dangunan Khunzul Ya Svabakum Ya Ngale Svabati Svabakum Ya Komchi Ya Kukhab La Yadu Svabati Ya Jamba Da Jawakum Ya La Yadu Khunzul Ya Gedi Yin Sama Yahu Sama Anu Hawa Du Anu Ta Desung Ne Ngadu Ta Jawa Ngama Mangu
Explain the third and the fourth line here. So the bodhisattva now, being aware that this person before them is suffering with a mind dominated by the afflictions, has generated love and compassion for them, and also being aware that not only are they unhappy now, but they're creating the causes for future suffering. So the bodhisattva has generated love and compassion. Then furthermore, guarding their mind against the arisal of anger through the generation of patience. Then furthermore to that, they are aware that the bodhisattva now, has the opportunity to practice patience because this person is talking to them in a deprecating manner or disparaging manner. And therefore, they have the opportunity to practice patience, to develop the strength of their mind of patience, develop the strength of their minds of love and compassion. And therefore, this person who's dominated by the afflictive minds is actually showing them a great kindness, because it's through this person that the bodhisattva is able to strengthen their virtuous minds. Furthermore, this person now, whilst in this present lifetime, in this present moment, has the afflictive mind of pride dominant. In previous lives, we have had a relationship together. We would have a relationship of a kind mother and their child. In previous lives, this particular sentient being before me right now has shown me tremendous kindness and cared for me with great love at times when I was most vulnerable. And therefore, we have a strong relationship together, and I have a responsibility to repay their kindness. So here now the bodhisattva is very aware of the relationship that they have with this person and the kindness that this person is showing them right now in this moment through enabling their Dharma practice, as well as the kindness that they have shown them in a previous life when they had a relationship of parent and child. So here, with this awareness, then the bodhisattva to relate to this person in a similar way that they would their spiritual teacher, and relate to them in a manner that's respectful, in a manner that is polite, despite the situation where the person is speaking to them in a disparaging manner.
So
practicing like this, the bodies suffer despite having someone speak to them in an abusive manner, someone disparaging them, looking down on them, belittling them. The bodhisattva's mind is not angry. The bodhisattva is not upset in any way. Rather, they're experiencing joy. And they're experiencing joy because their mind is dominated now by love, compassion, and patience. Furthermore, they are also aware that in this moment, because of the way that they are practicing, and because of having this person talk to them in this particular way and giving them the opportunity to practice, they, the bodhisattva, are accumulating a tremendous amount of virtue. And this virtue is enabling them to progress on the path to enlightenment, enabling them to progress towards the attainment of their goal of being in a position as a Buddha to be of greatest benefit to others. Therefore, or thereby, the bodhisattva is taking this otherwise suffering condition and transforming it into the path to enlightenment. So that means we've looked at how a bodhisattva will deal skillfully with a situation like this. So now let's turn it to ourselves. And when we're in a situation where someone is looking down at us, someone is belittling us because we're not as wealthy as them, or they feel they are a superior race or nationality to us, or more physically attractive than us, or powerful than us. So when we are being belittled by such a person, how should we respond? With the bodhisattva being our role model, with us wanting to also having the wish to enter the bodhisattva path to attain the state of enlightenment, we should emulate the bodhisattva, practice in the same way as the bodhisattva. So in the same way as the bodhisattva knows that anger is always inappropriate and that anger is never justified, we too should practice patience in difficult circumstances. And we too should, through our training, generate the minds of love and compassion. And then furthermore, just like the bodhisattva, we should be aware of the kindness that this person is inadvertently showing us in this moment, as well as the kindness that this person has shown to us in previous lives. And therefore, we should relate to them in a similar manner to how we relate to our own spiritual teacher. We should relate to them gently and respectfully.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. ဒီကရကျဘရရှိုးရတဲ့ကျန်ရစမတဲ့ညမနေရဂျန်ဒိုမန်ဂူချေရပါဒဂျန်ဒိုမန်ဂူချေပါဒဒီနေ့ကငါထေလမ်ဆာဒီဆမ်ဂျမ်ဂျေကောမြာဒါဆေဘကောမြာဒါချက်တာချေထူကောရတယ်ချက်တာငန်ဇွေဂျန်ဒိုရှိရမဲပါဒငန်ဇွေဒီဒီနေ့ကမင်းရေရှိချေလမ်ဆာဆေဘကောမထူရတာဒဲလက်ဂျမ်ညင်ကြီးကြဲဒီဂျမ်ပါဒဇေဝကြဲဒီယောထူကောမာလေဒီလမ်ဆာဒေါ်နာဘုတ်တန်ဂျေဖာအနေကြီးကာရရှင်နာဂျေဝဆမ
We've heard a lot about how bodhisattvas respond, and when we look at how we respond in these kinds of difficult circumstances that we're hearing about in this verse and the previous verses, we know we don't tend to respond spontaneously in such a way. We tend to immediately get angry, or at the very least frustrated and annoyed. And the reason for the difference is just because we are more habituated to these minds of anger and the various minds within that class. Whereas a bodhisattva has become more habituated to minds of love, compassion, and patience. And the reason that they have become more habituated to these minds is because they have made the conscious effort to train in cultivating these minds, in developing these minds. So they've put the time and energy into developing a new habitual way to respond to difficulties. And because of doing that, when they encounter these kinds of difficult situations, they respond in a way very different from before. This training that we need to engage in, this training that is the same as what bodhisattvas engage in themselves, is something that we need to apply ourselves consistently to. We need to do it again and again and again, because we have very strong habit patterns to respond to situations in a particular manner. And these habit patterns we can see playing out over this entire life. So we don't respond in this way only now, but we have been responding in a negative way for a long time. And in fact, we haven't been responding just in this way just in this life, but these are habit patterns that we have brought forward from our previous lives. So therefore, we are trying to transform long-formed habits. And this, of course, doesn't happen with just the inspiration that arises in a class or from trying to meditate on this once or twice. But this is something that needs to be done consistently over a period of time. And if we do that, this consistently over a period of time, then change will come. So for example, we've often spoken about the importance of setting a motivation in the morning. And if we set a motivation, for example, motivation in the morning, or for example, whoever I talk to today, I'll talk to them in a gentle manner. And whoever I meet today who has needs, I will do my best to help them. And if we set that motivation, then later in the day, if we when we do meet people, we are more likely to speak to them in an appropriate manner, in a gentle manner, and the like. Furthermore, when we meet someone who has need and we have the ability to help them, because of that motivation we've set, we are much more likely to engage with them and to help them. If in the morning one doesn't set a motivation, then one will just keep responding in the way that we always have. And sometimes we'll talk nicely to people, sometimes we'll respond in a harsh way, or we'll talk about inappropriate subjects and the like. Or if we come across someone who has some need, then we may just look away and pretend we haven't seen them. So this comes about in dependence on whether we have cultivated a motivation or not. If you look at our lives, when we are engaging in something that we want to do, we can do it with a lot of energy and a lot of joy and take great pleasure because we're doing something we want to do. For example, if we're watching a film that we've long since wanted to see and we're very engaged with the story, the time will pass very quickly and we will enjoy that hour and a half very much. Or if we're out with good friends and having a nice afternoon together, then that time too will pass quickly and we're enjoying ourselves. And this is because this is something we really want to do. We have a motivation to engage in these activities. And on the other hand, if we are, for example, we made to go to a puja and we don't have any wish, then that length of the puja, well, it's going to feel very, very long. Or if we're trying to do some meditation, but we're doing it more out of a sense of obligation than rather something that we want to do, then again, the time, even just 20 minutes, is going to seem very, very long. So this difference comes down to our wish to do something, our motivation to do something. And therefore, if we have a strong motivation to engage in virtue, such as to meditate on the topics taught here, then we'll be able to do so very easily. If we don't have the motivation and we try it out of because I was told to do, then it's going to be nothing much will come from it and we won't take any pleasure from it.
Then
The commentary then presents a verse from the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. The protector of the world will be delighted if you are restrained, even if many sentient beings kick you, beat you on the crown of your head, or even kill you. So what the meaning of this verse is that if a being such as a bodhisattva is in the situation where someone is even physically harming them in a very violent manner, kicking them, beating them, possibly even going to kill them and take their very life, even in such a desperate situation, a bodhisattva will not get angry. Patience will dominate the mind of a bodhisattva. Love and compassion for the suffering that this person is beating them is experiencing in that moment, as well as they are going to experience in the future because of the negative karma they are accumulating. This will lead to the rise of love and compassion in the mind of the bodhisattva. So in brief, no matter what happens to a bodhisattva, they will always respond with minds of love, compassion, and patience. So us, if we are in some kind of difficult situation, we tend not to respond in that way. We get angry, we get upset and respond in an equally aggressive way. And if we do this, then not only are we suffering from this situation, but now we are mentally disturbed and we are mentally unhappy. So we are physically suffering, we are mentally suffering because of our response, and because of this response we are now accumulating negative karma. We are accumulating the causes for our own future suffering. So we are suffering in that present moment and we are suffering in the future. We're creating the causes to suffer in the future, as is the person who's harming us. So then it's just really a big disaster. The person who's harming us is unhappy at the moment, we're unhappy. We're creating the causes for suffering in the future, the person who's harming us is creating causes for suffering in the future. So it's really just the situation is completely unwanted. Everyone is unhappy. However, if we engage in training beforehand so that we are able to respond in a skillful manner like a bodhisattva, then even while someone is physically abusing us and harming us maybe in even quite an extreme manner, our mind will stay calm, we will stay in control of our mind, and because we are aware of the situation, we will be patient, we'll have love and compassion dominant in our minds. And then the third step will also be present, in that we are aware of the virtue that we are accumulating because of the act of this person, and with this virtue we are creating the causes for the attainment of our goal, the goal of enlightenment, the goal where we can be of greatest benefit to all sentient beings. So therefore, despite all the physical harm that one is receiving, one's mind will be calm, peaceful, and joyful. And this is how one transforms difficult circumstances into the path, because one is transforming the suffering into the path to enlightenment.
Na deni ge mi sosulya deni ge nyeda ta deni chidu kabla na pha khoro ma la chu sebo kom che ani jamba dan tewa sebo kom gomba ina deni jini wa chu pha ba chen de sina na sanje chen yu sen ba cha sang gi ani Oh, that you mean Colon Yaganga, she did you say the Quipa, Conomalo, Malamba, Jesuvo Comte, Jamming Jones, Yapo Jason, Sambigi, two Yigores, Sedan, the Yapo Jason, Sambigi, two Giris. Not yet two Giena, I'm doing Dubi Chuba said, Chego, Dubi Chuba.
The first part of the verse on the Bodhisattva's way of life, the protector of the world will be delighted if you are restrained. So what this means is that if we, through our training, we respond in this dire situation with minds of love, compassion, and patience, and without any anger at all, then the protectors of the world, so Chenrezig and all the Buddhas, they will be delighted in what they are seeing before them, that this aspirant bodhisattva is responding in a similar manner to bodhisattvas. And they will take delight in this because they will understand that we are being skillful, accumulating virtue, and progressing towards enlightenment. And this through us practicing in this way and bringing delight to the mind of all the Buddhas, this is actually the same as making an offering to the Buddhas. And what we are offering to the Buddhas here is our successful practice. So it's good to be very, very clear here that it's not saying if one gets in this kind of situation, maybe one's mugged on the way home or something, that we should just rejoice in this opportunity we have for someone now to beat us. If we have the opportunity to run away, we should do that. So this is really talking about when one doesn't have such an opportunity. But seriously, it's about the mind training in these kinds of dire situations. So it's not about seeking out these situations and wanting to be abused and beaten so that one can practice patience. And then there's a verse from the Aryanagarjuna. As sentient beings are the causal condition of the factors conducive to enlightenment, those longing for perfect enlightenment view sentient beings as like spiritual teachers. I'll read it again. As sentient beings are the causal condition of the factors conducive to enlightenment, those longing for perfect enlightenment view sentient beings like spiritual teachers. I'll just read the first two lines again, because there's a second line Genda's commenting on. As sentient beings are the causal condition of the factors conducive to enlightenment. So here, this term factors conducive to enlightenment, this refers to three types of enlightenment, those of the enlightenment of the hearer, that of the solitary realizer, and that of the bodhisattva. And the factors that are conducive to any of those three are virtue. So the virtue that is the cause for enlightenment. The factors conducive to enlightenment, so the enlightenment is the three types, and the factors are related to the accumulation of virtue.
Mm.
So of these three types of enlightenment, of course, the one that is most relevant to us here in this context is the enlightenment of a Buddha, for this full and complete enlightenment of a Buddha. And the causes for the achievement of enlightenment include the minds of love and compassion, and not just these minds, the practice, the development, the cultivation of these minds. This is what leads to the state of a full enlightened Buddha.
So this goal of enlightenment.
To achieve this comes from a number of stages, and this then comes from our Dharma progression. So maybe the first stage then is that our spiritual teacher will teach us the various stages. So for example, will teach us what comprises the mind of bodhicitta, and therefore the factors of love and compassion, etc., as well as the wisdom realizing emptiness. Our teacher will teach us what this entails, etc. So the first stage then is the development of knowledge independent on our teacher.
Jamba Gomna Shingomar, Niji Gomna Shingomar, Janjusem Gomna Nesu Hamo, the Lamig Dinidinidis, Labja Manzulia, Sanji Gomato, Lam Yamlin Chair, Lamu Lubdin Chair, and Jeva, the Masanga Lama, the Kedin Chimushuada.
And therefore, we should see this teacher as being incredibly kind, because it's only through our teacher teaching us this that we come to know what Buddhahood is, what bodhicitta is, what emptiness is, etc. And not just come to know what these are, so not just the mere knowledge, but also how to train in these minds, or how to cultivate these minds, how to meditate on these minds, how to develop them all within ourselves. All of this knowledge is only dependent on we only have this knowledge because of the kindness of our teacher, and therefore we should see our teacher as tremendously kind. Similar to the tremendous kindness that our teachers show us through explaining what the path is and how to cultivate it in our continuum. So similar to this, sentient beings are also very kind to us. And the way that we should approach this meditation on the kindness of sentient beings is if we think about the the qualities, the mental qualities that we need to cultivate so as to progress and attain the state of Buddhahood, these are dependent on the kindness of others. So for example, if we want to engage in the practice of generosity, one needs sentient beings to practice generosity with. Likewise, when one engages in the practice of ethical conduct, one requires other sentient beings for the full practice of ethical conduct. And then, of course, for the practice of patience, one requires sentient beings. If we don't have sentient beings who are acting as objects of patience, then we don't have the opportunity to cultivate patience and and don't have the opportunity to achieve the benefits of cultivating patience. So therefore, to be able to get the benefits of practicing the Dharma path, to be able to practice the Dharma path, we rely on sentient beings. And likewise also with the generation of the minds of love and compassion. So this is usually done about thinking about the suffering of sentient beings. So when you think about how sentient beings all want to be free of all forms of suffering, no matter how slight, yet they are constantly inundated with the various types of suffering, especially the all-pervasive suffering of conditioning, then compassion arises within us. So here the object is sentient beings, and the mind that is being cultivated, that is being made manifest, is the mind of compassion. So this shows how the generation of compassion is dependent on sentient beings. And it's exactly the same with the meditation on love. Because here we think about how all sentient beings only want to experience happiness, and they want to experience moments of happiness followed by another moment of happiness. They don't want to experience anything but. And yet, this isn't the case. And then we generate love wanting them to be happy. And so this mind of love can only be made manifest in dependence on the object of sentient beings who wish to experience happiness. So here we can see how all these virtuous minds of love, compassion, patience, ethical conduct, generosity are dependent on the kindness of sentient beings. So therefore, when we hear about in the Lama Room, we hear a lot about the kindness of the mother. We should also have this understanding that it's not just mothers or in the context of mothers that sentient beings are kind to us, or in the context of the relationship of mother and child that sentient beings show us kindness. But actually it's in a very wide manner that we should come to understand this presentation on the kindness of others. So therefore it's very important that we reflect on the kindness of others in this broad manner.
Yini ge jamni je ta ane je wa ta yini ge ya phajin du ge nyamlin de ya ya ge ya ya dro ya ge dro ya di ane lami ge lob je jap je lama le de ne yong du ane dro sem je le de ne ane ya ya dro du de in za da Simjin Lama the Kedin Chimana Shin Simjin the Gipe as a Kedin Chimbury, Simjin the Simjin Mibi Kedishin Kedin Gomkuri, says dear Sundwa.
So, in brief, to be able to develop these minds of love and compassion, in other words, practice love and compassion as well as the perfections, and to develop these and strengthen them is dependent on the kindness of our spiritual teacher and is dependent on sentient beings. Therefore, we should see sentient beings as being kind as our teachers and see them as like a teacher, or see them in a similar way to how we see our teacher in the sense of their kindness. So therefore when we are in these situations where we are being abused by others and our context today has been very much about verbal abuse, but in all such circumstances, when we hear, for example, being disparaged by others, then the way to respond is with a mind of patience, never with a mind of anger. And in this way, instead of creating powerful non-virtue in such occasions, we will accumulate virtue. And when we accumulate virtue, we should be aware of this, and we should rejoice in the success of our practice. And the success, what this really means in terms of the success of our practice, we are creating virtue which are causes for the attainment of the state of enlightenment. We are now creating the causes for our spiritual progression, our mental development. And this is the meaning of transforming adverse conditions into the path to enlightenment. So instead of creating non-virtue through these adverse conditions, we are creating virtue, and this virtue is the causes for the attainment of the state of enlightenment.
That's also Benjo Miba Kanga Digale, Mish and I need you, Jayada. Answer to Nevada, the Negala, Yaji, Yidada, Nusin Lasso, Nevachia, doing it, Nevachin. The Niguris, that in it, and so to get three tunjins on the Kanga, you take the Kabla, some Laganistan, yes, a chick chair. Ne, and then young Denegate, that's also never touching booch, and then Denegate never touching Chidi Kabla, and some Laganistan, yes, a chick chair. That Denegate. The Mikyo,
Now we come to the next verse, which is transforming, suffering and decay into the path, or maybe I think we have transforming poverty into the path. So this verse covers a number of things. So here we're talking about difficulties that we encounter through being particularly ill, through having very powerful illness, or through our financial state being particularly poor. So in other words, we're in a state of poverty and the like, or if we lose our wealth and we become destitute. And then thirdly, it talks about how to deal with harm received by non-humans. So this verse now looks at these three: so illness, poverty, and dealing with harm from non-humans or from spirits. So that's what this verse will look at. And so that's a taster. We'll do that next time.
Kongro That's the work of Nan, the Niki, the Kanga taking Midikilia, Kochambata, Zawachin, and Kuzawachi Hores, that Zawachi Kongores, Chesan Dininza, and Dinijavan Sosulia, and Kawasa Gores, Chesan Dibu Massage, Kanga Jayundu, Min Suzuki, Kongla, Dibush, Nesai, Tabla, Kawasa Gores, Chesan Kawasaba, and the Niki Jambata, and Zawata, and Sovo Kuman, the Yamlin, the Shuk Children, and the Sanji Komotoyagi. 타니는 주고 버렸어. 지난 니니 담 담고 그랬어. 제가다디 다 기회 신인 라서베 니니기 지가나시 제마도 보이네. 소소 제 무효 바로 지지 지 제거해요 말했어. 니니 제리아 제 남의 감어 주비 디버요 말했대래야. 디부무 말했어. 니네자 뱀 제이나야다 라마델이야. 네 니께네샤 직배 노주르샤세라 카상하나 니니 제야요 말했어. 자 라마 제게 대부 라마레 대위치 아니 이나데 제 무효 빌레가 Chena mizim belagadi jekoya yo mares ina lamale dero jega mares on dus nyamne jekores di jeba ina sosu gi donda de dugu ore sosu gi avasa go jeza jamba de kewa jeza geyu cho sanju go bon de guche go res dine tolo jan jekores ese na duka na ro da dine tan on juge da ma zo da de kanga ma chi be ne gabla an de ne jemang e chesona kanga dine chu da dijina dijina akore dine ki me a Tell the civil home to be jigging, some big, the nation, and two children to get us some diet, two children to be sugar, Rosina, Gedee, and to Gedee Kumne, and the nation there. Then the Niggy Power, Conlang, me, some big, the Niggy Civil Commune, some civil commiata. And the Niggy, the Niggy, Niger, and the Ninja, the Sulet Ninja Kumbore, some big, and to get some diet. ती में भी गया था कंगाल लुम्बा शंदा नाले कंगाल मंगो योर बादे निके ओ दिने कंगाल चिकोरे निंजे ता कौन तो दिल्ली में निंजे आ ता जिसमें मैं तुझे ताने कंगाल चिकोरे वा निंजे संभी के ता ती तुझे ताने में दिखले निंजे को मिला ता बिना तो सीरियल मासूम ने ता तगा संचार योजे में ता जे मैं मंगो सुगोर वा दूसरे दिने संभना ऐसे निंजे ता धंधा में भी पू ता मैं मंगो शिव सुगोरे निंजे आ कौन तो ता ती सुखें दी ये आचार दां चादो दां कौनसो लोशा वंगे दिने के युचे अंदी सुगोरे ता कौनसो लेंगा बच्चों से गोरे ता निवा जेगे कोचे लेंगा बंदुगन्या ले सगे निजे संबे निजे दां अने नेपा न्यामदा सुखें दी के ले अने निजे को मिया दां दूसरे न्यो को मिया दां अंदो ले दिने के कंगा चुंसो ना अने दिने के न कौन दे ले सब कुम्बी संबे दूसरे सम दां दिने तो ने दा जिगे Nini, अने थबलम जितू है दी बेचू है ला दिलिंग लाभ चाहिए की दी ठीक हो रहे सिंगांग जो दिने तो ने ता जेजील मासों ना ता दादे दिन बेचू जेबा ना चेदे ले बेचू उनकोरे अने चेची माले बेचू उनकोरे उन तो सांजो को बात हर को बात तो क्यों चाहिए वाले जितना दिने तो ले या ता आंग तो सामा अने द
A number of ways to respond to difficult circumstances. We've spoken particularly about difficult circumstances in terms of harsh or inappropriate or abusive speech from others. So we've spoken about how if others who have power or influence over us and they try to take advantage of us, or we've spoken about how those who respond to us with pride or and disparage us and look down on us, we've looked at a number of situations there. And here, in all cases, the way to respond is similar, that first of all, anger is inappropriate. Rather, we need to utilize this opportunity to practice patience. And then secondly, we should, and so the reason that we need to do this is we need to be aware that should we get angry in response, we ourselves are creating the causes for our future suffering, as well as experiencing suffering then and there. So creating causes for future suffering, we should think what this means. And this means when these karmic seeds that ripen in the future, these karmic seeds that I'm creating now, when they ripen in the future, this means I will perhaps have difficulty having close relationships with others, difficulty being harmonious with others. My material conditions, such as a home or food and the like, may be difficult to acquire, or I could live in a situation that's unpleasant or unsafe. So all of this will come from me responding in an unskillful way, from me responding or allowing minds of anger to dominate. So therefore I need to guard my mind and protect my future lives through ensuring that patience is dominant in my mind right now. And secondly, not just generate patience and protect ourselves from non-virtue, but we need to accumulate virtue and we need to be of benefit to others. And the way to do this is to generate minds of love and compassion, despite being the situation being so difficult. And in fact, maybe even moreover, because it's a difficult situation, we, like a bodhisattva, should generate these minds of love and compassion. We do this, we're creating virtue, which will ensure that in this moment we are happy, as well as we're creating the causes for good conditions and for happiness in our future lives. And we are creating the causes for the attainment of the state of enlightenment. And we are now progressing towards the state of enlightenment. So this is something we've spoken about a lot again today and last night, and we also spoke about in this session now about how to utilize the same practice in the context of a spiritual teacher. So if a spiritual teacher gives us advice that is either not in accordance with the Dharma, or we feel is something we do not want to engage in, then this is fine. And we can politely refuse to implement their advice. We can decline their instruction or their request. And from this, we will incur no fault. It is our right to decline the advice that is given to us. However, we need to be aware of our mind. And in those moments, we should not get angry with our teacher in the same way as we shouldn't get angry with sentient beings. And in the same way, we shouldn't talk badly about other sentient beings. We shouldn't talk badly about our teacher and go to people and say, oh, you won't believe what I was told to do, that this is so inappropriate, etc. This just creates negativity, so we shouldn't do that. So we've looked at that today. And then we've spoken also then today about how we can cultivate these minds, because we don't yet have a strong habit or habituation to these minds, but this habituation can be cultivated. So in the morning, when we set our motivation for the day, if we have the time and can make the time, we should engage in meditation, developing this wish so that it's powerful, that today we will not harm others. And moreover, when we have the opportunity, we will be of benefit to others. So this is really the minimum motivation that we should cultivate in the morning. And if we have the time, we should meditate further. And we had several examples of how we can visualize or meditate on a situation that we are likely to encounter. For example, if we have a difficult work colleague, then or someone that we encounter in other aspects of our life, how can I deal with the situation skillfully and go through this role-play situation and develop new ways of responding, skillful ways of responding? So this is something that we really ought to do, and in this way, we will change our habitual way of responding. Furthermore, in terms of developing minds of love and compassion, here we can utilize what we see around us in the world. For example, there was this there's this ongoing war in Syria and the development of chemical weapons being used again, and we saw very distressing imagery there of children dying terrible deaths. And from this we can use these situations to generate compassion in us. So in these situations it's very easy to generate compassion for this very obvious manifest suffering before us. But we should also be aware of the perpetrators of such violence, that they are creating the causes for their own future suffering. And that awareness, through this awareness, we should generate compassion for the perpetrators of the violence as well, because they will suffer tremendously for this in the future. So in this way, we can utilize our experiences in our own life, as well as what we observe elsewhere. We can utilize these situations in our meditation and thereby take these conditions and transform them into minds of the path, transform them into causes for the goal that the path will lead to, the goal of enlightenment. So these kinds of meditations, as much as we can do, we should. And if we should do so consistently, and if we do, there'll be benefits not just right now in our minds being happier, but in this life there'll be benefits in that we will deal with situations more skillfully. And furthermore, through this creation of virtue, we'll have good ranking results in the future. And furthermore, through strengthening our habituation with these virtuous minds, these minds will be stronger then in our future lives, and therefore we will be happier in future lives. So therefore my request is that we all do these meditations as well as we can. So we can end with some questions.
About blaming others, but if I turn that around, what about if you blame others for something that you feel justified to blame for? So, for example, the world's full of situations that shouldn't be happening, and if more people stepped in to help, then other people's suffering would be minimised. I can use another example, a perfect example of child abuse. Which goes on a fair bit, and there's always somebody who knows about it. So what's the special thing about that?
Sure. So blame in situations where if one does blame the perpetrator of something, then people may get involved and try and bring an end to this kind of behaviour.
Blaming those who didn't step in to help.
Okay. I understand. Yep. So for example, where there's been child abuse and people chose to ignore it, then blaming them, and so that's to encourage that other people in future situations do get involved and don't just look the other way.
Yep.
Okay, I understand. Maompa netang shempala, deni katsum deken nungru jogire. Deni jesang pendok yongire. Kasi maompa mi chik dikpadi den drabo tonga, deni pena nyantokpa den drabo lapire. Jesang samsang ato kyunsuk chekere, nye samkire.
Kyunsuk chekore, kyunsuk cheyong mara layo marwa. Deshi mi su kyunsuk cheyong tu, nandu samla karatang kukure labna, kyunsuk chey macho layo mara, kyunsuk chey na samla karatang kukure labyo tu, Tela korona ayam baris, an dila an jamzi kau tu semua kumpulan esas, sama dengan istana korea sengan tu patah lah siapa. Nah, dini kita tu kunci cewa kugur itu mana? Tapi dini an tu patah kunci cewa jauh lah. Tapi kunci sena mesena tempat lah tu, kunci tempat. Tempat wujud ni sudah, jikwa dah, malik bade lah, siapa dulu kunci lagi malu. Di tempat mana jikin minyak tu, nukun tu siapa siapa wujud ni tu siapa dulu kunci siapa malu, kunci kor. Notre de Kiran, Notre de Jigdua, Notre de Jigmino, Temper Ratu Chigore, Ratu, Nijedi, Jehu Gore, Nijedi Layang, Ganesha was a Gunwa de la Paja de la Dagare, Michanda, Suje de la Sebo Comjo, Koromalanga, and the Jamja Comore, Sixia. The Paja Shidine, or that the Niki Notre Shuja, Ninja, Sambig, Niji Gesia, the Konzuki Notre Chigu, the Ninja, the Konzuki Buda, Zen, that the Nutu Tanya,
Consulia
Pugula, Tupia, that is called Digo Shusago, what? Just a Ninja, then
So it's a good question. So what we've been covering here in these verses is specifically about when others speak badly to or about you, and others blame you either for something you've done or haven't done. And then we had the training and how to, the advice and how to respond to that. So that's specifically been about when others talk to you or about you. However, this is still applicable here. So first of all, when others act in a manner that is actually unethical, for example. So in accordance with reality, it is unethical, so to speak. When someone does act unethically, then we wouldn't, if we speak about this, we wouldn't use the word blame. Rather, we would say we're correcting the faults of others. So this is something that is good to do. When others are acting in an unethical manner or acting in a way that will lead to future suffering, then it is good, where appropriate, to say something, to get involved and to correct the faults of others. So this is good to do. These aren't the situations where one stays quiet, etc. One should say something where appropriate. However, where there's a very clear similarity with the trainings we've had here, even though now maybe the situation is quite different, is that how we respond. And the how we respond is in terms of our state of mind. So when, to take the illustration of child abuse, to generate compassion, love and compassion for the abused child is of course something that one should do. But likewise, one should for the perpetrator who's creating suffering for others as well as in the future for themselves, as well as then love and compassion for the person who could have stopped but didn't. So here, where the training is very similar to what we've had in the other context, in the context of the text, is we must take control of a responsibility for our mind, seeing that anger is inappropriate, practice patience, and generate minds of love and compassion for all involved, and get involved, and where appropriate, get involved. Answered? Okay, good. Other questions?
Yeah? In some way related, if it gets to the sense that if we get attacked, we shouldn't just let people beat us up.
Mm-hmm.
Do we defend ourselves physically? Mm-hmm. Can't run away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we can't run away, is it appropriate to physically defend ourselves?
Maybe,
yeah.
We may not control
them. Hit them back, kind of thing.
If we hit someone, they might fall over, they might die.
Yeah, yeah. Then Natsu kung la nirun tana chikjena kung mariu kide chikjena kung jongide ding di si kide.
Nado pa ni to tao.
Ah, kung chikjena po le.
Re, nirun tana tu so su pa nirun tana yung maruwa. So su kide ko pa juya da nirun tana ma tu yagi tabji tana tabji tabam tana na tana chirwa ta ni de tama na ko ni gyo la chi si du gyo la so ni we sai go ba je da se bo kum go se be nyam na che go ma ko de nyam na je ha cha je da ni tana na ji go ma je da so si ge da de ma ta wa yin na de lya an ko ko ro xie ge tablam lya an ne ka chi chon zo ma la sia da ji ji ka de sia de gu ji gu ji la go da ga la wa de ji pa ji ya de tablam tab si ga yo ji ya che ta nan zu tab si ga de na ma nyam ba ji ko yin de ta na an nan zu ge pa e ma ji ba yin de ni ya se bo kum ya ji ma se bo kum na cham cham ta di ko pa ni de ta ji ji ma sue xiao san de de di go ro da di ji jian na di go ma.
So certainly one can physically defend oneself and do so in a proportionate manner. So here the training is again, if one is trained well, then one's mind, even in such a circumstance, will remain calm and one will remain not dominated by anger, but one will remain in control of one's own mind. But to respond physically in a proportionate manner is certainly appropriate to do.
So, so good, Toby Gunet, I made you can. Indeed, Minita, Yeda, so who has Chagorwada, Bene, Denigi. Then you are Mamma, the other Jagadua and the Pulus through the Jews, meet Pulus Nisum Jews and the Pulus Yakwaya, that is your word. Quite Toby Gunet, Taya Yoma, then Yeda, so who were then, Indimid, so who were it. The Denigi, so go again, yes, up to Leon, do some like Karatango and no corner sana, Dipare, John Isaragor, Delian, Jambada, and it's so compurated.
There are other situations where people don't have the ability to defend themselves. So for example, the situation or the culture maybe in India is very different, where the police certainly do beat people. They have these long sticks that they beat people with, and the populace do not respond. This is very clear. They do not respond to the beatings of the police. So in such a case, where one doesn't have a method to respond or the power to respond, then all one can do is control one's mind. But if you do have a method to respond, either run away or defend yourself physically, then one should do so.
Just a quick question. In the Judo-Christian tradition, since it's now Easter, would the example of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross be an example of the way a bodhisattva would behave or react in that circumstance?
How can I explain that without explaining the Easter story to Genla? Because that will take some time, because Genla doesn't know Christianity. And it's a good question, but it will take quite a long explanation. To be honest, I don't remember the story so well either. Okay, next time. Next time. Okay. Okay. And a happy Easter to everyone, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.